All right, turn to the book of Jude, please. A very small book right before Revelation. Only one chapter. This is a good book that you probably can read through every single day. Take you about maybe 10 minutes or so. And I encourage you to do that during our study of this wonderful little small book called the book of Jude. Remember, Jude was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had, his father was God. His mother was Mary. But also, Mary and Joseph had children after Jesus was born, and Jude is one of them. And so, in this part we're going to look at, is we're going to talk about warnings against apostasy. Now, in your bulletin, the prayer sheet, there was a handout. It's the same one as last week, but it has the answers of what we've covered so far. We got about maybe one-third of the way through our study last week. And so I want to do a quick review of that, and the part that is answered, we're going to go through that quickly, and then we'll take up what we left off from last week. So it's talk about warnings against apostasy. We're going to look at verses 5 through 7. Let's read that together, please, and we'll come back and look at them individually. Jude, in chapter 1, of course, one chapter, verse 5. And Jude said, I will therefore put you in remembrance that ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, afterward he destroyed them that believed not. And, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So here he talks about Old Testament apostasy. Gives us three examples. And apostasy is a rejection of God, his word, and his ways. So apostasy is a rejection of God, his word, and his ways. Gives us three examples here. There's Israel, angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah. And each one of these examples, he brings judgment upon them. So the first example of apostasy, we'll go through this quickly because we covered it last week, but the answer should be filled in already on your sheet there. The first one was Israel. Verse 5, Jude says to those he was writing to, I will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Basically, he's talking about the Israelites that he delivered out of Egypt. These Israelites saw the mighty hand of God, saw his miracles, and how he brought judgment upon Egypt and delivered them through the Red Sea and brought them to the Promised Land. But it says here that many of them did not believe, and they were destroyed. So letter A is talking about God's people refused to believe God's promises. All throughout, prior to going into the Promised Land, God promised them, I will bring you out of Egypt, that I might bring you into the Promised Land. Over and over again, he promises. But these people did not believe God's promises. Let me quote a verse for you, Genesis 17:8. God said, I will give unto thee, speaking to Abraham and his descendants, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God promised over and over again, I will bring you out, that I might bring you in. They did not believe him. By the way, do you believe God's promises? Now, if you were one of the Israelites, would you have believed what God said? Majority of them did not. In fact, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, it said this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of the fathers shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. So basically, these are the 12 spies of the 12 tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. Said, I want you to take them and go into the land. He says, that I give you, go spy out the land, come back and give us a report. Of the 12, how many came back with a good report? Only two, Joshua and Caleb. All the rest came back and says, we can't do it. Joshua says, we're well able to do it. 10 says, we can't do it. And so because of the 10, the majority of the Israelites believed the false report, the bad report, And all the Jews 20 years old and older died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And letter B, the majority chose to ignore God's power. Chose to ignore God's power. In Numbers 14, verse 22, it said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land where I swear unto the fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Basically, he brought judgment upon them. Israel was an example of apostasy, the rejection of God, his word, and his ways. God said, I will bring you out, but I might bring you in. And the majority did not believe that. So Israel rejected God's word and God's way. Number two, the second example, Old Testament example of apostasy and God's judgment are the angels. Now, angels were created by God. They are beings with supernatural power and intelligence. Angels are far superior to man. And they were created with supernatural power and intelligence. These were beings who saw God, who dwelt in his presence. And so, among the angels, they fall in two categories. There's what we call good angels and bad angels. Or they're called God's angels and the devil's angels. The devil's angels are not his by creation, but by following him in his rebellion. They're now called in the Bible demons. And so when Satan fell from heaven, he took one-third of the angelic host with him. One-third of the angels who dwelt in the very presence of God, created by God, rebelled against God with Satan. And so these creatures, it says in verse 6, they left their positions and place in heaven. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, that of being an angel, but left their own habitation, talking about heaven itself. Now, who is this referred to? What's the explanation of this? There's two possible explanations I want to share with you. The first, who are these angels that kept not the first estate? Who are these angels that left the habitation of heaven? The first explanation, these are the ones that joined Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And Revelation 12:7 talks about when Satan fell, that he was cast out of heaven and took a bunch of angels with him. They're called demons. Now, interesting, this particular group here, God judged them in a specific way. If you would look at the latter part of verse 6, please. It says, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of a great day. Interesting. Of all the angels that followed Satan, are all of them chained? No. Among the demons, they fall. And let me back up. There are two categories of angels. Good angels, bad angels. God's angels and the devil's angels. And now among the devil's angels, they fall in two categories. Those that are chained and those that are unchained. The unchained are the demons that are roaming with Satan today. You know, in the New Testament, we have many examples of men that were possessed by demons. So a lot of the demons who rebelled with Satan are roaming the world today. But there's a group of them that are chained. The question is, why? Not all of them are chained. Not all the angels that rebelled with Satan are chained. Many of them are still roaming. There was a group that did something. Does not clearly say what it is. But they were chained. And it's speaking about them here. So those mentioned here, many people believe these are the angels that rebelled with Lucifer. But not all the ones who rebelled with Lucifer were chained. Only a certain of them were. And so, if you would please, it's talking about Satan's original rebellion here. Let me give you another view. And I covered this last week while I left off. The second view, and I got tickled. Somebody come to me after me and talk about this one. But let me give you the view. It's number two on that sheet there. It's not talking about those that joined Lucifer in his rebellion, but those that cohabitated with women on earth. Go with me now to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis. That many people believe these were referring to angels that consorted with the daughters of men. in Genesis chapter 6, please. The first book of your Bible. We read this last week. Let's read it again. I shared this last week. Somebody told me, I got tickled. They come and they said, Pastor, that's a bunch of hogwash. I said, oh, wow, that's, and I never heard of that before. That's interesting. But, you know, what I'm going to share with you now, there's good men on both sides. The Bible scholars that believe this, there's Bible scholars that do not believe this. That is believed here, and I'm kind of on that side. I do believe this to some extent, that the angels that left heaven with Lucifer, that there was a group of them, I'm going to share with you here, that came to this earth and cohabitated with women. And I believe, and they're the ones that were chained, that God judged them and chained them as an example that no other angel should ever do this again. One thing angels do not like to be is chained. Remember in Christ's ministry, as he cast out demons, many times they would say, Lord, it said, Jesus, are you come to torment us before our time? They all know the time is coming of judgment. But there was a group of angels that whatever they did, God chained them as example that don't ever do this again to the other angels. And I believe this is the reason. Look here in Genesis in chapter 6. Before going any further, let me give you, I told you, some people believe this, some don't. Some of you believe it, some of you don't. Somebody said it was a hogwash. That's fine. But anyway, let me give you some men that do believe this. The first time I heard of this, I was in Bible college. Dr. Mark Cameron, my Bible college professor, believed this. He taught this. Warren Wiersbe believes it. Liberty Bible Commentary teaches it. John MacArthur teaches this. So there's many men, Bible scholars, that believe what I'm going to share with you here. So whether you believe it or not, this is not a matter of fellowship at all. I just want to share with you and give you some thought. This is a different view. If you leave here and say, Pastor, I agree, this hogwash. Okay. But let me give you why they believe it. And so it seems like Jude is referring to angels that consorted with the daughters of men. Look here in Genesis 6, please. Let's begin in verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born of them. So talk about men multiplying and daughters were born. But verse 2, that the what? The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also his flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Verse 4, as a result of the union between the sons of God and the daughters of men, look at the result in verse 4. There were what? Giants in the earth in those days, and also after that were the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of his thoughts, his hearts, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls there, for it repented me that I have made them. So basically, whoever these sons of God were, who married the daughters of men, the offspring, were giants. And it went on to say, they bear children, the men became mighty men, were men of old, men of renown. As a result of this union, wickedness spread throughout the whole earth. To the point, God says, my spirit shall always strive in men. And he wiped out all humanity by the flood except the family of Noah. So basically, I believe that the sons of God with these fallen angels who cohabitate with these women. And notice the results. And so I give you some other verses on this. Now somebody, wait a minute, Pastor. Matthew 22:30 says this, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So they said, see here, angels don't marry. But it says the angels of God where? In heaven. These are the angels that left heaven, and they left their habitation in heaven and their first estate. And so basically this verse does not necessarily negate the possibility that angels are capable of procreation, but just that they do not marry. However, to procreate physically, demons would have to possess human male bodies. So these men that were sons of God basically would demon-possess men and intermingled among the women. As a result, go back now, back to Jude. Because of what happened, they were severely judged by God. Back to Jude, please. Now, before any further, I think I shared with last week when it said the sons of God married the daughters of men. The other view is this. The sons of God were the godly line of Seth, the son of Noah. And the daughters of men were the unsaved women of the Canaanites. And so basically it said the godly men married ungodly women and the results. But a lot of times Christians married non-Christians today, do they have giants? And so but that's another view. There's other views of that, but I'm just going to share this with you, and you let it fall where it may. Again, if you leave here saying it's hogwash, that doesn't hurt my feelings. But anyway, as a result of this, go back now to Jude 6, the latter part of verse 6. And these angels which left their first estate, kept not their habitation, he hath reserved to everlasting what? Chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. So whatever group of angels, what these angels did, they were chained. Not all the demons are chained. Not all the angels rebelled with Satan are chained. Only a group was. So what did these group do that caused God to judge them early and chain them and waiting for judgment? I believe is what we saw there in the book of Genesis. In the Bible, the term sons of God is referred to four different people. It's referred to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by relationship. It's referred to Adam in Luke chapter 3, the last verse. It said Adam was called the Son of God by creation. It's referred to Christians. Christians are called the sons of God by regeneration. But also demons, angels are called the sons of God. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, it said the sons of God came into heaven before God, and Satan was among them. So it refers to angels are called the sons of God. So I believe the sons of God in Genesis 6 were these fallen angels that rebelled. And whatever they did, they were chained as an example for others. Now go to, keep your finger on Jude, go to 2 Peter, please. Peter addresses the same thing. Peter addresses the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Just a few books before Jude. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Look what he said here. For God spared not the angels that what? Sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness, being reserved unto what? So again, this is not talking about all the angels that sinned. The angels that sinned rebelled with Lucifer and cast out of heaven. But a certain group of that group, it says he cast them down to hell. The word hell, the Greek word, is Tartarus. It's the lowest part of Sheol where the torment is, and delivered them. But interesting, what's the next verse after that? And spared not the old world that saved Noah. Saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world ungodly. Interesting, right? Associated with these angels that sin was also the flood. Exactly what's in the book of Genesis. Now, but it's talking about a certain group of angels that sinned. Go with me now back to Jude. And to me, this is the most compelling verse that to me says these angels were the sons of God that married the daughters of men. And because of that, there were giants. And because of that, sin becomes so rampant that God had to destroy humanity because of that. And it's believed this was Satan's way to pollute humanity. God, after Adam and Eve fell, God promised a Savior. And Satan was right there, heard that promise. And it is believed that his way of trying to pollute humanity by intermingling his demons with humanity. And if that would, if the Savior would come through humanity, he'd have to be from also a descendant of Satan's seed, which God said, this is going to happen. I'm going to destroy humanity to wipe out all those who did, except for one family, a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Noah. But look at this. In Jude, remember, who was the first example of apostasy? Israel. Who was the second example? Angels. Now look in verse 7. Here's the third example of apostasy. But there's a certain phrase here that gives credence that these angels were involved with fornication and the daughters of men. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, in like manner of what? It goes back to the angels in verse 6. When did the angels go after fornication, after strange flesh? In like manner as they did, I believe it goes back to Genesis chapter 6, when the sons of God married the daughters of men, in like manner. But anyway, so much for that. You can take that and go believe it or not believe it. If you believe it, there's a lot of good scholars on your side. If you don't believe it, a lot of good scholars on not on that side. This is an issue that two men can disagree and still be two good men. So these angels defied God and rejected his authority. Whatever they did, whatever the explanation of these angels, they defied God and rejected his authority. So let's look at now the third example of apostasy is Sodom and Gomorrah. Letter A, God's judgment due to sexual immorality. This judgment of apostasy was God's judgment due to sexual immorality. It says, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Now, fornication is a broad word that covers all sexual immorality. It covers adultery. It covers homosexuality. It covers lesbian. It covers bestiality. Any kind of sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage between a husband and wife, a man and woman, is called fornication. And, and these two cities were guilty of that. And, of course, we know that Sodom and Gomorrah was guilty of what sin? Homosexuality. The gay lifestyle. And they used to be called sodomites, sodomy. And today, you don't use that word because it's not politically correct. But sodomy was the word given to the gay lifestyle. And God's judgment was on these two cities because of sexual immorality. Letter B, God's judgment is an example for us today. God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah is an example for us today. Look at the latter part of verse 7. Let's read the whole verse again. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, said, are set forth for and what? An example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, this judgment serves as a dreadful example of what happens to those who turn from God to follow their own lustful natures. I think we don't have time to read in Genesis 19 when Lot was in Sodom. Remember, Lot and his family were there, and God told, prior to that, God told Abraham that the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah is coming for me, and I'm going to destroy the city. And Abraham knew he had a nephew there. His name was Lot. And he had a conversation. He said, God, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare it? What did God say? Yes, I'll do it. And so Abraham began to think, maybe there's not even 50 saved people there. If there's 40, would you spare it? God said, yes. If there's 30, would you spare it? Yes. If there's 20, would you spare it? Yes. So he thought, what if there's 10? By the way, there were 10 people in the Lot's family. He said, there's 10 saved people. Would you spare it? He said, yes, I will. So Abraham stopped there. And then God left, and the two angels went to Sodom. And before they could destroy Sodom, they had to get Lot and his family out. And you know the story, how many eventually went out. There was Lot, his wife, and two daughters. His wife looked back, turned to a pillar of salt, and then Lot and his two daughters were the only one left, and God destroyed the cities. And the reason he destroyed the cities is because of their sin of sodomy, of homosexuality. He destroyed two whole cities because of that. And what Judah is saying, this judgment is set forth as an example to those for us today. And so this is extremely concerning today. Because do you see the direction our country is going concerning this subject? The fate of unbelievers in those two cities foreshadows the fate of all those who deny God's truth and ignore his warnings. Now go back to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. After God talked about the judgment of angels in verse 4, and the judgment as far as upon the earth of the flood, verse 5. Now verse 6, 2 Peter 2, 6. And again he says this judgment upon them was an example for all those who would follow the same lifestyle. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Notice here, making them and what? An example unto those that after should have been ungodly. So basically what he's saying here, when you see Sodom and Gomorrah and God's judgment upon these two cities for what they were doing, as an example of what he would do if anyone followed the same lifestyle later on. And let me show you real quickly. The Bible openly, clearly condemns sodomy. It clearly does this. Now, what I'm sharing with you is not politically correct. In fact, it is not acceptable in our world. Go now, keep your finger in Jude. Go to Leviticus 18, please. Leviticus 18. Here it talks about homosexuality and lesbian type lifestyle. In Leviticus 18, 22. If you remember, when Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and two angels came to the city, and Lot realized who they were, and Lot invited them to come stay in his house overnight. Remember that story? And he said, it's not safe for you to be outside at nighttime. And so the angel said, no, we will. He said, no, you don't need to stay outside at nighttime. So they went to Lot's house, and during the night, there's a knock at Lot's door. Lot opened the door, and it was the men of the city had completely surrounded Lot's house and said, we saw two men come into your house. Bring them out that we might know them. Now, they didn't mean get acquainted and welcome to the city. The word know is the exact same word was that Adam knew his wife and conceived. It was one to sexualize them, one to sodomize them. And how did Lot respond? He said, my brethren, what a thing to call them. My brethren, do not so wickedly, for these men have come into my house under my protection. And then what did Lot do? This is unbelievable. Lot said, I have two virgin daughters who never known a man. Let me bring them out. You do what you want to with them, but don't bother my two guests. It shows you how the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah affected Lot. He even offered his daughters to these men. And the men were not satisfied. We don't want your daughters, we want the men. And the angel struck them with blindness, remember that? And they did not bring any fear upon them. It said they wearied themselves to find the door. They kept trying to get at him. And so the night went past, and the angel said to Lot, you have any family members here? Get out. God sent us here to destroy the city. And Lot had other daughters and sons-in-laws. And he went to them to warn them of God's judgment. And they responded by laughing at him. He lost his testimony so greatly, this is in Genesis chapter 19, that laughed at him. So Lot went back to his house, and he tarried. And the angels grabbed them physically and drug them out of the city. He said, don't look back, head to the hills. We're going to destroy these two cities. Lot's wife looked back, and what happened to her? Turned to a pillar of salt. And Lot left with two daughters. And Lot's life ended. I mean, the last we hear of Lot, he was hiding in a cave. And his two daughters began to rationalize. Now, they said, you know, we don't have any other men to carry on our family name. And so his two daughters got Lot drunk and got so drunk that one daughter lied with him that night, slept with him that night, and she became pregnant. And the next night, one daughter says, hey, I went with my dad last night. It's your turn. So they got him drunk again and went there. And so Lot, his two daughters end up being pregnant by their own father. But look here in Leviticus 18, verse 22, please. Leviticus 18, 22. It talks about sodomy, homosexuality. It says, Leviticus 18, 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an what? Abomination. That is a word of strong, means detestable, vile, evil in the sight of God. For a man to lie with a woman, lie with another man as he does with a woman, it's abomination. Look in Leviticus 20, please. Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. And I need to speed up because the time is just about gone. Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. And notice the result. They shall surely be put to death. Sodomy, the punishment was the death penalty under the law. So it shows you God's view of this behavior. Now, I don't believe we should go out and kill them. This was under the law, and God was much more strict under the law. But God's view of this lifestyle has not changed. And so, now, our time is just about gone. I want to go to the book of Romans and show you what talks more about this. But here's my concern. I looked this up today, is the direction of our country concerning gay, lesbian, and transgender lifestyle. Remember, the scripture says two places that God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was an example to those in the future who decide to live the same lifestyle. And so listen, please. Get my last notes here. Here it is. A direction of President Joe Biden taking our country. U.S. News report, Biden's campaign pledge included protecting called the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people from discrimination, ensuring fair treatment in the justice system, and advancing this LGBT rights globally. Biden has already issued an executive order, now he's in office, that extends existing federal non-discrimination protection upon the LGBT people. ABC News said this, President-elect Biden has repeatedly vowed to protect the LGBT rights, make it a priority in his administration, but he won't be working alone. The former vice president has already tapped this group of people, appointees for several key roles and gay rights advocates, and a hopeful that more will be named, including the first cabinet member confirmed by Senate. There's also a push that should an opening be available in the Supreme Court, that he will put an openly gay and lesbian Supreme Court justice there. Biden's nomination of openly gay Pete Buttigieg, you remember him, run for president, openly gay, to serve, he's been already nominated to serve as Secretary of Transportation. His appointment marks the first time an openly gay man person has been nominated to serve in the cabinet position. In the inauguration of Joe Biden, this Pete Buttigieg was sitting with his husband in the crowd there in the inauguration. On June 19th, Biden announced another first opening transgender person, Dr. Rachel Levine, to serve as the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And so he's trying to put them in office. These are nominations that be confirmed by the Congress, but it shows the direction he's taken our country. And real quickly, Biden's campaign also pledged to pass the gay and lesbian rights legislation known as the Equality Act in the first 100 days of his administration to protect them, their rights, as a top priority. And I had a secretary sent out an email this week to our church family that you notify your congressmen to vote against this. Because the Equality Act, first of all, jeopardizes women's privacy and safety. It allows a man who identifies himself as a woman to go into women bathrooms, women dressing rooms, and also the locker rooms in public schools. This Equality Act will do that. The Equality Act unfaithfully penalizes female athletes by allowing biological men to compete in women's sports. This already happened. And so a man who says that I'm a woman or transgender, he can compete against women in athletic thing. And, of course, the men beat the women. And so, and by the way, this is legal, protected. The Equality Act, on close of this, would severely erode religious freedom. If this passes, it could cause churches to hire gay and lesbian people. And if you don't, it's discrimination. And if someone on staff identifies himself as a gay or lesbian after they've been hired and you fire them, it's discrimination. They can take you to court. And also, it can eventually remove to outlaw what I'm doing tonight, preaching against this. The first thing they'll do is they'll take away our tax exemption and eventually may put pastors in jail. And so, this is the direction our country's going. And so it concerns me that if God destroyed two cities because of this and said, this destruction is an example of what I'm going to do to anyone who chooses to live this lifestyle in the future, woe unto America. And so what I'm saying, pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for that he might get saved. Pray for salvation of those involved. So, by the way, I'm glad God's still on the throne. And this did not take him by surprise, but we see the direction our country's going. By the way, you can Google all this and look it up, Biden's effort in trying to force this lifestyle upon our country, and you can see for yourself. And so I had more time I want to share with you about this, but time is gone. It's 4 minutes after 8, and Awana's letting out. So what is it? The last thing? What does it say? On screen. Okay, thank you. There it is. Let's bow together, please. All right, heads bowed and eyes closed. We conclude our service. I had so much more to share with you, and time did not permit. But let me say this as we close. God loves the homosexual. He hates their sin. But he loves them. He desires for them to come to Christ. And that should be our attitude too. Love the sinner, hate the sin. They need salvation like any of us do. But we can see that God held that particular lifestyle in greater judgment. And so that concerns us. So if you have a gay or lesbian family member, friend, or relative, love them to Christ. Share the gospel with them. Tell them that Christ died for them as he did any of us. And try to win them to Christ in a loving way. Don't be mean to them. Don't be ugly to them. Love them as you would any other lost person. And try to bring them to the Savior. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that all of us deserve hell. Because we're sinners and we broke your laws. So we thank you for that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all humanity. And that through Christ, we can be forgiven, be saved, and have a home in heaven. We thank you that salvation is a gift. It's not earned. It's not merited. It's given to us freely at the expense of your Son. We thank you that when we receive Christ, we receive eternal life and forgiveness of sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.